Today on Real Radio.
It says in verse 46, when Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you rejected this good news, and this is a very, very sad and tragic word, and it's a nautical term to shove off from shore. You shoved off from the truth of God in the Bible. And the word judge, you judge yourselves. This is amazing. Verse 46, it means to decide by a trial, by having the sentence decreed and to be condemned. The word is also translated, they ordained themselves. Listen, somebody help me. How did they ordain themselves unworthy?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the last 11 verses of chapter 13. Here, we're told in so many words that the day of the Gentiles had arrived. In other words, now the church is a mix of Jewish and Gentile believers. Well, some of the resisting Jews were none too happy with the events of the day. But that didn't seem to bother Paul and Barnabas and the others. They just kept on evangelizing. Let's continue with hearts that see and eyes that hear. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
What these guys were doing is that they were imposing the rite of circumcision upon these new believers to rob them of their joy, and they walked up and they basically are going to say, you need to be like us. Totally miserable. Bound by the law. Walking around with a sour-looking mug on your face all day and thinking that sorrow is godliness. You need to be like us. You guys are all excited about this message you've heard? Well, this is how it really is. You need to suck on lemons like we do. Get down and really, well, you would be miserable too if you'd get circumcised. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians to these very people, the area of Galatia, which Antioch of Pisidia is in. He writes to them later, did they continue in the grace of God like he asked them to? Answer, no, they didn't. That's why he wrote the book of Galatians. You can jot it down right in your notes right now. Right here, Paul had to write the book of Galatians because they did not continue in the grace of God. So what does the book of Galatians say? Paul says those guys who have so easily and quickly defrauded you or moved you off the path from the grace of God, he says, I wish all of them to be, the word is emasculated. Paul says, they want to push circumcision? Well, why don't they just cut everything off? That's what he said in the Greek. Is that heavy? So can you imagine accepting Jesus Christ right now? Everybody come forward, praise the Lord. Got a bunch of people up here. All you guys, okay, it's time to be circumcised. Forget that, pal. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Thank God. Aren't you glad? All the men go, amen, brother. Hallelujah. But I want to say this in all seriousness. If you're a circumciser here today, if you're thinking about making this your church, or maybe it already is your church, you're legalistic. You're looking around at people and you're criticizing. Well, if they were really like me. Or, if they were really holy. Or if they came to church and wore my kind of clothing. Or if they would only this or only that. Listen, I got a couple words to say to you, and I mean this because I love what God's doing here. Repent of your legalism, get right with the Lord, or hit the road. Because it's a cancer. It'll destroy people. You get a brand new believer. Aren't they fun to be around? They're crazy. I love them. They just accepted the Lord. Praise God. You know, they're all pumped up. I love being around a new believer. And then somebody comes by and says, well, brother, enjoy it now while you got it, because you need to be like me. miserable and circumcised and seriously. Hey, forget it. If anybody's bugging you, if you're a believer and somebody's trying to, if you sense, man, it's legalistic, somebody's pushing this down my throat, hey, I want to know about it. According to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to stand before God and give an account for this place. And if we're going to sin, people, we need to sin towards grace. I'd rather go the extra mile to forgive you than to cut you off. Because God is God. He is Lord. I didn't die for your sins and you didn't die for mine. The bottom line is Jesus Christ is the one. And if he extends grace, then how much more grace should we extend? Well, yeah, but Jack, you know what? They used to? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. If our God is not the God of the second and third and 59th and 131st chance, then forget it. And I know that drives a legalistic mind up the wall right now. That's why I'm asking you, either repent of that attitude, or there's, I'm sure, some other places that will love to have you. And you can be in the little fault finder sin sniffer club and just generate an exclusive group where we're the holies and you're not. Hey, I thank God Jesus died for a wretched, stinking bum like me. And put his, he thought enough of me to put his Holy Spirit in my life. I don't understand it. I can't reconcile that. God just says, simply believe it. And I'm glad. But these guys are rejecting. And it's sad. Number one, we're going to give you six things on how to become, six steps to become a legalistic circumciser. Number one, verse 45, you got to become envious. They were filled with envy. The word in the Greek means heat. It means to have the jealousy, and the Greek implies like a husband has for a wife that is wayward. That's tough stuff. The word also implies malice, to have enough envy to where you're angry to do something about it. They were envious. Rather than rejoicing, they were envious. Check this out. The next word is contradicting. The word contradicting means to dispute, to refuse, to deny the revealed light of facts. It can also be translated gainsaying or making up stories. They were contradicting. Oh, Pharisees, so-and-so, it's awesome. Paul is preaching and people are getting saved and people are loving God. Oh, yeah, well, you know what about Paul? Let me tell you something about Paul. Telling stories. Why? Because they're envious. Trying to undermine the work. And this gets even more serious. Listen, everybody, listen carefully. The next word is blaspheming. This is amazing. And convicting. The word means to defame someone or to defame God, to attempt to weaken or to water down or to accuse God of something wrong. Have you done that? I've done that before. God, why don't you do something? Have you ever said that? I've done that in my heart. You're holding your little baby, she's burning up with a fever and nothing's happening. God, why don't you do something? That's the definition of blaspheming God. It's lack of faith. Remember when Paul the Apostle says, you know what? I hear that the gospel's being preached even by some people who can't stand my guts. Paul said, remember that? But he says, I rejoice because the gospel's being preached. What a mature guy. Paul says, hey, I don't meet up to their personality expectations. I could care less. Praise the Lord, the gospel's being preached. What an attitude. That's what we're supposed to have. But listen, if we don't have that kind of attitude, we're going to get envious. How is it when somebody tells you, God's doing a great work in my life? I led that guy to the Lord, or the Lord's sending me to Russia, or the Lord's sending me to Timbuktu, or I prayed and my family accepted the Lord, or what? And you go, oh, that's great, praise the Lord. And you think, how come, hey, God, why not me? Why, hey, God, me? Be careful. Give God the praise and the glory and the honor, and be careful. We get envious. We start to argue and deny the facts that are before us. Then the next thing, we blaspheme. We start to even discredit God at work. Note the sequence here. The envy begins. They start to contradict. They blaspheme. The next thing, the fourth thing, is that they oppose. First is envy. Second, contradicting. Third, blaspheming. Fourth thing is that they oppose. And this is a very horrible thing. The word in the original language means to speak against God or to what is in relation to God. To make something inferior or to hurt or to pull down its reputation by reports or by words or by slander is to oppose God. In Acts 18:5, the scripture says that when you are opposing God's work, you are literally opposing Jesus Christ. And it also says that you are opposing yourself. Rejoice in what's being preached. Could the Pharisees do it? No. Why? Because they're envious. Why? Because they saw the great multitude and they wanted them. What are they doing over there? We're hearing the word of God. Well, we've got to oppose this. How sick. Don't think it can't happen to a believer. Look at the life of Saul and David. Let me ask you something concerning Saul and David. Were both of them called of God? Yes. Did both of them believe in God? Yes. Were both of them king? Yes. Did both of them prophesy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Interesting, not that this matters, but according to the record, were both of them attractive? They were. Whatever that means. There's just so much alike, though. Except David had a heart that could see. And he had ears that could hear God. Saul was doing fine when you read Samuel. What happened? Saul was doing fine. And a little guy about the age of 14 comes on the scene with five rocks and a sling. And he begins to use that sling. And before that, Saul tried to dress him up in his own armor. I'm sure Saul thought, this poor kid's going to go out and get killed. Poor little dummy. Let's put my armor on him. And that was not somebody else's armor. It was Saul's armor. Let's put my armor on him. And David said, well, this is just too much encumbrance to me. There's no way. He goes out there and he meets Goliath with God. And he whipped that giant because of his trust in God. That moment, Saul hated that boy. Why? Because he was envious. Why? The people said, David, David! As soon as Saul heard that, there was this jaw set. And from that time on, what did he do? He began to throw spears at David, try to kill him. Oh, David, he'd say, I love you. Love you, David. David would go, love you too, Saul. Turn around and whoop-boom. Isn't that the truth? You know how Saul was so emotional? Incredible mood swings. Why? Because he was given over to envy. What did envy do? It produced in him what? Contradicting. He began to blaspheme and contradict David's reputation. The next event, he began to oppose David. And here was God's anointed. David even said, don't touch God's anointed. That was Saul he was speaking of. And God took him out. God removed him. And David became king. They looked so much alike. They had the same calling. They had the same gifting. But inside, David had the right heart. And these Pharisees and these religious leaders did not. And they rejected the love, the gospel of love. It says in verse 46, when Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it, you ought to circle that. That's the fifth thing, rejection. They rejected this good news. And this is a very, very sad and tragic word. The word means, and it's a nautical term, to shove off from shore. You shoved off from the truth of God in the Bible. And the word judge, you judge yourselves. This is amazing. Verse 46, it means to decide by a trial, by having the sentence decreed, and to be condemned. The word is also translated, they ordained themselves. Listen, everybody. It says in verse 46, you ought to circle verse 46 and draw a line to verse 48. And I hope this settles an argument that you might have in your heart or in your mind. It says in verse 46 that they rejected the gospel and they judged themselves unworthy. The word is ordained themselves unworthy. Somebody help me. How did they ordain themselves unworthy? By rejecting. Verse 47. Judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Look, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have set, he's quoting Isaiah 49, verse 6. He says, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. That's the last word they heard. Seeing how you reject the gospel and judge yourselves, you've ordained yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, then the only thing that we have left to say to you is the gospel's come to you. You've heard it, is what Paul would be saying. And let me tell you, if you think I'm getting excited about this, can you imagine what this little precious Jew filled with the Holy Spirit was doing? It earlier said last week, he's motioning with his hands. He probably looked like a blender. Because this man spoke with passion. And he's got both arms going and he's saying, you have rejected the truth. By doing so, you have ordained yourself unworthy of everlasting life. And so this is all we have to say to you. Behold, I'm going to quote to you Isaiah 49. He says, they didn't have numbers back then, but they knew the verse. And he declares to them, it's history, so to speak. We're now turning to the Gentiles because God has ordained it that if you would reject it, we're going to the Gentiles to spread the news. And it was fitting that the Jewish leaders should hear it first. Now that you've heard it, we're on our way. I found it interesting. You know, I think, if I remember right, the broadcast of Billy Graham's work is to be done tonight on Channel 5. But it wasn't broadcast simultaneously around the world this week here. And I think it was KKLA. Someone asked them in Puerto Rico, how come? Why not to America? You know what the response was? Because America already has the word. We're using all of the power and the resources of the systems to get it to the other parts of the world where they haven't gotten the word. Think about it. We didn't need that broadcast. Now, we're going to watch it tonight and snoop in and find it and watch it and enjoy it, but we don't need it because the gospel's come here. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much will be required. That's pretty spooky. America has been given a lot of light, and what are we doing with it? In verses 48 to 52, we see the gospel of love that is received. And watch what happens to this. It says now, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. And they were glad, number one. They glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Well, wait a minute. As many as been appointed to eternal life believed. Yeah, don't get too shook up. Some of your Bibles have translated the word ordain. It means the same thing as verse 46. Check it out, everybody. Listen up. Verse 48 says, the Gentiles were glad when they heard this. They glorified God. Who did? As many as those who were appointed to have everlasting life. Well, when did that happen? Who made the appointment? Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says God did. Everybody listen carefully. God has appointed some people to go to heaven? That's what the Bible says. Well, when? Well, Ephesians 1, 4 says, before the world was ever laid, before the foundation was ever laid down in the earth, before the heavens were created, God knew who was going to go to heaven. Does that mean God knew who was not going to go to heaven? Yes. Does God send people to heaven? Kind of, yeah, sort of. Does God send people to hell? No. How can you be so sure? Because verse 46 says, they ordained themselves unworthy of everlasting life. You see that in your Bible? Mark it down. If you're having a struggle with some certain views, you need to circle verse 46 and verse 48. Verse 46 is man's responsibility when the gospel's presented. Choose it or lose it. The gospel's free. It's free to anybody who wants to have it. But if you reject it, oh, what a cost. In verse 46, they didn't have hearts that would listen. And they didn't have ears that would hear. Jesus said, does your heart have an ear? Or have you built up a wall around your heart so great and so tremendous that nobody can get near it? That everything you hear, you've got to judge, criticize, and scrutinize until it's dead? Where's the wonder? Christianity sounds like a fairy tale. That's why I've got my PhD. Wait a minute. PhD? You cannot resist Christianity and think that you're doing so on intellectual terms. That's ridiculous. Well, I'm not a believer because I'm too smart. No, that's not true. If you were a believer, or if you were smart, you'd be a believer. Well, hey, I find that offensive. I don't mean to offend you. I just want you to think. I'm trying to provoke you to think. Because PhD could mean piled higher and deeper. You can, and I'm not disparaging education. I think we should study all the way. We should be masters of everything. The greatest thinkers of the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries have been Christians. Kepler, Newton. You can go on and on. Brilliant people. Born-again Christians loved God, and it was their love for God and their love for science that led them to understand both. So don't think you're too smart to become a Christian. That's impossible. We read this morning in a scripture reading, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. In fact, even an evolutionist looks up there and goes, oh my God. It's beautiful. I saw a program with the Alaskan golden plover bird. Beautiful little thing. His parents, during the summer, go to Alaska, build a nest, lay the egg. Egg hatches. Mom and dad look at the little baby bird and they say, we're out of here. And they go back to where they came from. You know where they came from? Hawaii. They leave Alaska in the summer, or in the fall, when it starts to turn cool, they leave and they head for Hawaii. Mom and dad do. They leave the kids at home. They go to Hawaii. They go back where they live. Spend the winter in Hawaii. Not bad. About a month later, you know what happens? The little babies in the nest, they start going, man, this is getting like downright cold here. And they take off across the sea. You know where they go? They go to Hawaii. And you go, well, so what? They've never been to Hawaii. Phil's winter coming on, flies to Hawaii. Mom and dad's already left. How does he know that? God's written it into his code. It's in his genes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Hearts That See and Eyes That Hear. A look at the last 11 verses of the book of Acts chapter 13. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio with more. Listen, if you enjoy and benefit from Real Radio, let us know. It's easy. You can call, click, or write. If you want to put it into readable words, probably the quickest and easiest way is to visit us at realradioactive.org. In fact, while you're there, click on the tab that says Reaction, and you'll be able to read letters like this one. Pastor Jack, I am blessed every morning by your teachings, and my kids even have gotten into the listening as well. This often sparks some great questions for my kids about faith and the Lord. You sure are a blessing to my family and to the upstate New York area. God bless you, Natalie and family. Well, thank you, Natalie. You see, it doesn't have to be very long. It can be very brief, but we love to get letters and emails like this. So again, realradioactive.org. Or you can call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.